Innovation Conversations from the Southwest Innovation Expo.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Innovation Conversations from the Southwest Innovation Expo, recorded here at Sandy Park in Exeter. This time we have representatives from the water industry and from academia to tackle the challenges around water. Water. With us, we have Dr. Diego Pinici, civil and environmental engineer for the Centre for Resilience in Environment, otherwise known as CREW, and also Carolyn Cadman, Director of Natural Resources for Southwest Water. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for inviting us.
So, water. We turn on the tap, we use it, it goes down the drain, and we think about it no more. But given challenges that we're all facing in today's climate, the climate crisis, should we start rethinking our relationship with water and maybe taking a bit more care about how we utilise water?
Yes. I've been in Southwest Water for 18 months now and I'm still learning. Still, every day is a school day. But there's some really interesting facts that I'm starting to get to grips with. And one of those is that every time you flush your toilet, that's 8 to 10 litres of treated drinking water that you're flushing away. And, you know, a lot of the discussions we've been having today are about rainwater harvesting. And you think of the, if we use rainwater that we capture ourselves in our homes instead of treated drinking water to flush our toilets, we'd be saving a lot of water. We wouldn't need to take so much water from the rivers and reservoirs, from the environment, to use in our homes. So I think there's a whole rethink, a whole systems rethink that we need to do to understand and change our relationship with water.
Now that you've come to mention it, using rainwater to flush the loo just sounds so obvious, doesn't it, Diego?
Absolutely. And it is a real issue that we can't think of other solution than taking the water from the rivers and from the reservoirs and then just using it to something that not necessarily as drinking water or as water that we can use to irrigate for agriculture. So we need to have, as Carolyn said, this paradigm shift in terms of how we think of our water use and our pressures as humans on the water resources.
How are we going to go about doing that, do you think, Carolyn? It's not going to be an easy conversation to have because we're just so used to it just being there.
We are used to it being there and it's very convenient and it's literally on tap, as you said. This is a challenge that the water companies have at the moment. So we do have targets. We have been given targets to work with consumers to reduce water consumption per head. It's called per capita consumption. And there's targets in the DEFRA plan for water to try and achieve that reduction. But also, we're doing that at a time when trust in the water company is very low. And, you know, it's a difficult message for a water company to ask people to use less water when there is a sentiment out there where, you know, there are issues, other issues with the water sector that we need to tackle and we need to address, like reducing our reliance on storm overflows, fixing leaks and all of the other work that's happening as well. So we do have all these different work streams happening, but some of them are, I wouldn't say they're conflicting with each other, but they don't all make sense intuitively to a customer.
Now, it seems there's a lot of hard work to be done. How is CREW, the Centre for Resilience in Environment, helping with all this?
We just started this new venture together with Southwest Water, effectively in 2021, but we got our new building that was completed only last autumn. And what we're trying to do to tackle these issues is to actually use natural processes to do that. That's what we do using what is called nature-based solutions. Nature-based solutions are becoming increasingly quite a buzzword, but they simply mean using natural processes and natural material to restore some of the natural functioning. So in which way we try to remove the pressure on the environment just by using the environment itself.
Now, we love buzzwords and buzz phrases. A lot of them get thrown around. I've got one written down here. It says, ask about upstream thinking. That sounds like another one. What is that?
So upstream thinking is where Southwest Water are working with a number of other organisations like Cornwall Wildlife Trust, Devon Wildlife Trust and others. We fund them and they employ farm advisors who go out to meet with landowners in land which is adjacent to a river or a reservoir. And the farm advisor will support that farmer or landowner to farm differently in a way that's good for water quality, good for wildlife and good for their bottom line, because we can give them grant funding and we can also give them the confidence to use less fertiliser, less nutrients, less pesticides and things like that. It's a programme that for us has the benefit of water quality, for the delivery partner has the benefit of wildlife, and for the farmer they have a financial benefit from it as well.
I think it's fair to say, I could probably place a bet that as you're listening to this podcast, it's raining outside right now, because it seems that we've started the year with quite a lot of rain. Our climate is changing. The way that water comes to us is changing. But when us as consumers see more rain out there, we just think there's more water available. But it's not an infinite resource, is it?
It is, absolutely not. And this is quite a counterintuitive process. So we have a lot more water in very small events, but then we have a lot less water in normal events. So that's why we have much more exacerbated floods, but we also have much more exacerbated droughts. And that's a huge problem, because we have a lot of water in such a small time, and then we have a lack of water, and we have somehow find a solution to store more water into our landscape and make sure that then that water is available when we actually need it, that is, during droughts.
I'm going to ask you, Caroline, because you know, we look to the water company to supply it to us. So what innovations are needed to help, I guess, secure water capture?
One of the programs we've been running, which is similar to Upstream Thinking, is the Southwest Peatland Partnership. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing is restoring the peatlands on Dartmoor, Exmoor, Bodmin Moor and Penwith down in Cornwall, and restoring the degradation that's happened over centuries, often because it's been drained or used as fuel. But we are recreating a kind of natural sponge in the landscape, so that rather than water from the skies, rain falling into the land and just going straight down the catchment, what we're doing is slowing that flow of water and using natural plants like sphagnum moss to really capture the water. I mean, that's an amazing plant that can store 10 times its mass in water. And it basically creates more of a dripping tap of water into the catchment rather than an abundance of water going down. And that's good because the more you can slow the flow of water, the more you reduce its impact on nature and the environment around it.
And geographically, that sounds very apt to where we are here in the Southwest.
Absolutely, yeah. And we have a lot of small flashy catchments, so steep-sided valleys in the Southwest, and that's why water management down here is such a challenge.
Can I ask about legislation? And is it Ofwat, isn't it, the body that's in charge of legislating water and how it's regulated, yes?
There are a number of different regulators. Mm-hmm. So Ofwat are in charge of the economic regulation. So they govern what water companies can spend and how much they can charge back to customers and how much they can borrow mm-hmm. from investors. Then there's environmental regulators as well. So there's a combination of DEFRA, the Environment Agency, Natural England on occasions as well for some elements. But then, and then separately, there's the Drinking Water Inspectorate as well, which stands over the quality of drinking water.
And what impact or what effect does legislation have on all of this?
Oh, huge, huge. And you've seen big changes in the plans that water companies submitted to Ofwat last year, a big focus on reducing reliance on storm overflows, for example, an increase in measures to make water supply more resilient in times of drought. And many water companies are also taking forward their new duties around biodiversity as well. And we've done exactly the same. We've published a biodiversity strategy as part of the PR24 business planning process. So it, big change driven by legislation.
Diego, biodiversity has been talked about a lot during these podcasts. Another concept or theme is net zero. Does that also have a part to play here?
Absolutely. With net zero, as Caroline mentioned, part of the peatland restoration is also to restore the carbon functioning of peatlands, because degraded peatlands, actually, they do release carbon into the atmosphere. So they are doing the opposite job of what they're meant to do, normal peats. Whilst restoring peatland, they are a carbon sink. So we do have this interplay between restoring the functioning of water systems, but also restoring the carbon sink that they do. Another example could be wetlands and wetland creations. They do store a lot of carbon in return, whilst dry wetlands, or what they're not longer wetlands, that will not do this job anymore. And it is estimated that actually recreation of wetlands is one of the best ways to store carbon into our landscape.
As consumers, individuals, and indeed businesses of all sizes, we can all play our part here. I'm going to ask both of you in turn what tips and advice you could give to us all to help secure the future of water.
On South West Water website, there's a whole section dedicated to this. There's water saving devices that we can support people with. We can help in terms of community rainwater harvesting to really on the one hand, reduce our consumption of water and think about how we catch rainwater for use in our gardens, for example. We can create ponds which provide habitat, but also water in your garden, again, for multiple uses. On the other side of things, there's also issues that are created in the water network from what's called fogs, fat soils and greases, which get clogged up in wet wipes, which all the water companies are working together and nationally to promote other things other than wet wipes, because many wet wipes have plastic in them.
And this is the waste side of things.
Yeah. So there's things we can do to reduce our consumption. There's behaviours we can change in terms of what we flush down the toilet, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yep. Diego.
My advice is very similar to what Carolina said. So it's a change of mindset. So we want to be open to change and to change our habits. One could be using less water, which is quite obvious, but we all need to make the shift. The other one is being open to these new nature-based solutions, because normally the perception from the public is that we see a solution to something as a hard engineering measure, pouring concrete, building walls, whereas in reality, restoring natural functioning means that we need to be open to the idea that these natural processes that we suppressed over time, they're actually being restored, such as, for example, having the floodplains being flooded and farmland being open to being flooded a few times a year. This is quite difficult to understand, especially from members of the public, but that's the greatest contribution that can be done, just changing and trying to change our approach towards it.
And those of us who travel to London on the train, we see those floodplains, don't we? On that journey as we exit the Great Southwest and we go towards the big smoke of London, and they play an important role.
It is a vital role. The problem that we have in Britain is that the majority of rivers, and we're talking about pretty much all of the rivers, they had their natural functioning suppressed, meaning that a functioning river would have a channel connected to the floodplain in which you would have a lot of biodiversity thriving, a lot more wetland. This has been cancelled over the centuries in the name of progression, land reclamation, agriculture, which is great in terms of how our civilization is working, but in reality, it's creating a huge problem with biodiversity. We have a loss of more than 83% of species that are living in wetlands. We have one in three vertebrate species that are at risk of extinction. So our duty now is to kind of protect that and try to restore what the natural function of the ecosystems is.
And researchers and water companies are all working together for this.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got a number of projects that are looking with the university. So let's go back to peatland restoration. They're not just looking at the peatland restoration that's happening on the ground and the physical interventions that are being made. They're also measuring the wildlife that's coming back to those habitats as well. So, all happening in partnership with academia.
Three takeaways each for our listeners. I'm going to start with you, Carolyn.
Think about how much water you use.
Yeah.
Think about your behaviours and what you flush down the toilet, but support your local community when they're thinking about water management of the local environment and get involved. Think about water and get involved.
Fantastic. Diego?
Be open to change. Mm-hmm. Love your water rather than thinking that water is a problem. And complexity is much better than streamlined, but not really suitable for wildlife channels and wetlands.
Thank you very much, Diego and Carolyn. I know that when I get home now, I'm going to get a bucket and put it outside. I'm going to use that to flush my loo. Some great ideas there on ways we can reimagine our use of water.
Thank you for listening to Innovation Conversations. Recorded by Fresh Air Studios on location at Southwest Innovation Expo, Sandy Park, Exeter, on the 5th of March 2024. This podcast was produced as a joint venture between the University of Exeter and the University of Plymouth. Presented by Paul Philpott. Engineering and video editing by Mark Stevenson. Audio editing by Martin Burgess Moon. Production assistance by Lisa Hartwell. Producers for the University of Exeter, Marina Alto, Georgia Brown, and Andrew Dean. Producers for the University of Plymouth, Rich Adams and Melanie Jones. Copyright University of Exeter and University of Plymouth.